Okay, today is March 26th. We're at Saskatchewan Indian Federated College, Regina, 1991. And this is a conversation with Albertine Gosselin. Albertine's working for Saskatchewan Indian Federated College, and we've been working together for almost 6 months now. What I wanted to ask you is this, a thing I might use in class in Germany. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you about, well, you have had an interesting life, and maybe you can tell us something about that. Where you were born and where you were raised, how you were raised, where you went to school, most things.
Okay, I was born in a little log shack on the reserve in Manitoba.
Which reserve?
The Wewesikapo Band in Rossburn, Manitoba, which is the town of the reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I was brought into the world by my aunt, who is also, she's now deceased, but she was my godmother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised then by my grandmother, mm-hmm, until I was the age of 6 years old. And I lived on the reserve with my grandma in a little log cabin, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And when I became 6 years old, it was then time for me to be going to school.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma wanted me to stay at home with her and go to school in the day school that they had on the reserve. But my mom and dad, suddenly out of the blue, were interested in me, and there was a big fight, physical fight over me, and I remember distinctly being thrown back and forth from my grandma to my mom and dad, and who was gonna take me and who was gonna have me. And today I still remember that really clearly, and I often think, geez, I must have just looked like a rag doll, just being tossed back and forth with no, not even being human.
Just an object.
Yeah, just an object being tossed back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the end, my grandma told my mom and dad that they were going to be sorry that if they took me away from her, that I would be hurt later in life. Because of taking me away from her.
Mm-hmm.
So then she says, well, I'm going to put her in the residential school and leave her there. Then you won't be able to hurt her. So that's what happened. I was then sent to a residential school,
mm-hmm,
when I was 6 years old, and I stayed there for 12 years. I came home to visit.
Where was that?
In Birtle, Manitoba.
Birtle?
Mm-hmm. Just the Birtle Indian Residential School.
How do you spell that, Birtle?
B-I-R-T-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
There
Does
was
that still exist?
No, the school is now closed.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother went, there was two schools, the one school burnt down, so my grandma went to that one and my mom went to that one, so
mm-hmm,
we were all brought up in residential school. The residential school that I went to was not bad, I guess, because I didn't know any other way of life,
mm-hmm,
so to me it was something that was sort of accepted, and I wasn't lonesome for my parents because,
mm-hmm,
I didn't really know them in the first place.
Yeah.
But I did go to visit them on holidays, summer holidays or Christmas or whatever. And those visits were sometimes good, but most of the time they were bad visits, because I was physically and sexually abused by my dad, and my mom did nothing to help me. In fact, she had contributed to the physical abuse that I got, and this was from the time I was 7 years old. In the school itself, like I said, I didn't know any other way of life, so it was something that I accepted, I guess. But at the same time, there too, there was a lot of abuse that I today I feel was abuse, but at the time thought was
normal.
Yeah. I got a lot of strappings with a belt on my hands, and we were stripped in front of the other students to get our lickings when we did something wrong. We couldn't speak our language. We got strappings for talking our language.
Were you raised?
I was raised speaking my language.
Mm-hmm.
Today I can't speak my language fluently, but I can understand when someone is speaking to me,
mm-hmm.
and I have to respond in English, but
mm-hmm.
I do know what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You were talking about the school. There were things that today you would see as abuse.
Things that I would see as abuse that happened at the school, like, for example, was the physical beatings that we got from the principal.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a man, and he was a pretty big man.
Mm-hmm. Was he a priest?
No, he wasn't. It was, the school was a Presbyterian.
Mm-hmm. But the teachers were not priests or anything?
No, we didn't have any
mm-hmm.
priests or nuns in our school. The matrons themselves were not too bad, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Were there any native matrons or other native people employed?
No, we never did have any native matrons. They were either English or Scottish or
mm-hmm.
that type of person.
Were there any Indians working at the school?
No, there wasn't.
Not even, say, in the kitchen or
no.
in the garden or something?
No.
No?
No. The students did all the work. We did all the cleaning of the whole school and the farm. Like, we had a farm with the
mm-hmm.
school, so the
mm-hmm.
boys did that.
So you produced a lot of your own food, huh?
Mm-hmm. The schooling, like, the actual schooling itself, to me, I thought was okay because I was, and still am, a person who liked to learn,
mm-hmm.
so school
mm-hmm.
was something fun for
you
me.
You got a good education, you got a good
yeah.
mind, yeah.
I really enjoyed going to school. But I didn't enjoy the environment, I guess,
yeah.
that I was in. And either way, I was a loser anyway, because when I went home, I was abused at home. So
mm-hmm.
when I went back to school, I was then again abused.
Did you
so
ever get?
I was a loser either wherever I went.
So you were caught between two rocks.
Right.
Did you ever see your grandmother again?
I was only in school for a year, and my grandmother passed away. So that was really hard for me, because I really did love my grandma, and she raised me.
Yeah.
I knew her better than I did my own biological parents.
Yeah. In a way, I think you were also privileged that your grandmother raised you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those first years, which are very important for,
mm-hmm.
for the character of a person. Maybe that's what's giving you a lot of strength
mm-hmm.
now.
And when I was in school too, I was always determined that I'm going to, my way, I guess, of coping with this abuse was telling myself, you're going to make it, Albertine, you're going to do something with your life, and I therefore became a very determined person.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to stay in school for the whole 12 years.
And then you wanted to join the Navy, right?
Yes, that was when I was in grade 11.
I think that's funny.
I was in grade 11, and I had the matron help me to apply to get into the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
She got the forms and everything, and we sent them away. And I had to go. I went home for summer holidays, and then I got a letter that said I was accepted, and I could go in, join the Navy, but at the same time I said, well, I'm going to wait to see if I passed my grade 11, and if I did, I'm going back to school
mm-hmm.
instead.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't explained at the time that I could have continued my schooling while I was in the Navy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I did receive my report card during the summer, and I passed, so I went back to residential school
mm-hmm.
for another year. So much for my Navy.
Yeah, why did you want to join the Navy?
I wanted to go out and see the world, I guess, and I just wanted to be, I wanted to be an officer of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was why I wanted to.
You regret that now?
Today I regret it, yeah.
Yeah?
If I had been explained that I could have went to school while I was there, continued my studies, then I probably would have went to the Navy instead of going back to school.
Be sent down to the Gulf.
Well, that would have been all right, too.
Yeah.
And then after that, when I finished my schooling, my grade 12, I went to Winnipeg, where my mom was now living. My mom left my dad when I lost my younger brother. He was 12 and I was 13, and my dad disappeared, I guess. I don't know where he went.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he moved back to Saskatchewan. That's where he went.
Is that where he was from?
Yeah, that's where he was originally from. I don't know if my dad was on a guilt trip.
Was he Ojibwe too, or something?
No, my dad was Cree,
mm-hmm.
and he spoke Cree and French.
Mm-hmm.
So when he left, I don't know if he was on a guilt trip or what, but he was really abusive to both of us, my little brother and I, so I often thought that that was why
mm-hmm.
he just disappeared. So then I moved to Winnipeg, and I went to school again to the business college in Winnipeg, the Angus Business College. I finished my course in 5 months, and I immediately got a job.
Mm-hmm.
My first job was my teacher who taught me at the residential school. So that was kind of funny.
What did you do there?
I was working that time for the Manitoba Indian Brotherhood in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a secretary at that time. And it was lots of fun. I stayed there for 9 years with the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And learned lots.
I heard a couple of days ago you once worked for Ahab too.
Dr. Ahab Spence, I was his secretary at the same place, the Manitoba Indian Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
At that time he was in the arts and crafts department.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met Ahab. And
mm-hmm.
to this day still think the world of him, and
mm-hmm.
he comes to me for personal duties that he would like done. And I like that.
Mm, that's good, yeah. That's a good relationship.
Yeah. What else?
You worked there for 9 years, did you say?
Mm-hmm. I worked there for 9 years with the Manitoba Indian Brotherhood, and then what happened was I was at one point told that my dad had passed away, that he was killed in a car crash, and so I accepted that. And then one day my uncle from Manitoba asked me if I had heard from my dad, and I said, well, how could I hear from him when he's dead?
Mm-hmm.
So he says, no, he's not. I just got a letter from him, and he's in Battleford, Saskatchewan. So one day I just packed up my kids, and away I went. I got on the bus and came to Saskatchewan
mm-hmm.
to find my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But by coming to Saskatchewan to find my dad wasn't, to me, was something that exciting, that I was going to see my dad, because I hadn't seen him for quite a few years. And when we did get to Battleford and I found my dad with my two kids, it was to me a useless trip, or like getting a slap in the face, because when we went to his house he just said, oh, what do you want here? Like, as if I was intruding in his home or his life. So I just stood there and I actually cried because I was so hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we left and we went, got our own place. And I lived in Battleford for a couple of years. I worked at the Battleford's Union Hospital there.
Mm-hmm. And also doing secretarial work.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I was working in the as a records clerk.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for a couple of years, and then I got a job in Saskatoon with the Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan, where I was a finance clerk and a computer operator.
Mm-hmm. So is that where you learned computerizing?
Yeah, well, what happened was there were close to 600 of us who got laid off this one particular year. And I was laid off for a month, and they gave me a call and asked me if I was interested in going into the computer, the data processing
mm-hmm.
department.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what I wanted to do, so
mm-hmm.
that's where I started
mm-hmm.
my computer.
The work you do now, you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoy my job right now.
Uh-huh. That's
good.
And what brought you to Regina?
Mm-hmm. What brought me to Regina
was that after Saskatoon, right?
Yeah. I worked for the Potash Corporation. I think it was for three or 4 years I stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened then was two of my kids, Tracy and Alex, were in the care. No, they weren't. They were. Tracy was in care of social services, and my son was only 7 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had plans on coming to my house to come and pick up Alex. So they did come to my house with two police officers and two workers.
What was the reason for doing that?
They thought I was abusing him, physically abusing him. So I told Alex that these people were coming to the house to come and get him. And
mm-hmm.
what he did was he crawled underneath his bed, a twin bed. He crawled under there and he hung onto the mattress underneath. And the police and the workers searched the house and they couldn't find him. So after they left, we just packed a knapsack each for
uh-huh.
ourselves, and we hitchhiked from Saskatoon to Regina,
mm-hmm.
just the two of us.
When was that?
That was in about 1979, 1980, no, must have been about 81.
Did you raise your kids all by yourself? Or
yeah, I raised my kids by myself since they were born,
mm-hmm.
and I had I enjoyed raising my kids, but with the relationships that I had, I've always been abused,
mm-hmm.
with all sorts of abuse, physical, emotional, and mentally abused.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a really hard time, but I never ever gave in. I always kept going forward. I always had a job. I always provided for my kids.
Mm-hmm. You're a very hard worker, and what made you such a hard worker?
I think, like I said before, it's I think I'm fighting all this stuff of being abused and not really having any parents, and like I'm, maybe it's anger that I'm carrying through
mm-hmm.
life, and I'm fighting back by
mm-hmm.
being so determined and
mm-hmm.
and always working. Like I don't want to be seen as a failure because I've been abused.
Mm-hmm. So that puts you under internal pressure, or you
yeah.
put yourself under pressure
yeah.
to assert yourself all the
yeah.
time. Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes have a really hard time dealing with it,
mm-hmm.
but I never actually sit down and cry, because
mm-hmm.
I keep my feelings inside.
Yeah, that's what you told me
yeah.
once. That's what you learned
yeah.
at residential school.
Yeah, right? I learned to keep my feelings inside from residential school, the time I spent there, and also from my parents, because they had abused me a lot
mm-hmm.
too, and I got beating so bad that I never did. I forgot how to cry.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't hurt me anymore, even though they beat me with a horse whip and tied me to the bedposts and that to give me my beatings.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take the beatings, but I wouldn't give in to cry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't. So that's how I live today, I guess. I don't keep my feelings inside.
That was your resistance, huh?
Yeah.
It's hard on yourself, though.
Yeah. So I guess also
mm-hmm.
I can say that I'm a survivor, and I'm still surviving today.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lee Marrickle once said, just get in front of a typewriter and bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And what she was saying was, if you hurt or so, write. And I've read your journal. Is that one of the reasons why you started to write? Well, that's how I understood it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I have, because once I get writing, I can really put everything down and I see everything really clearly. It's just like watching a movie.
You can put it out there and
yeah,
look at it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can actually see the actions going on and everything, the people who are doing this
mm-hmm.
stuff to me, or
yeah.
did this stuff to me. And it's real, like it's like a constant replay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I put it down on paper, it's like I relieve pressure off myself, and it's like saying, well, I'll close the book now and
mm-hmm.
tomorrow I'll write some more.
Yeah. And when you write, in one case I remember you actually wrote to a person, but do you normally, when you write a journal or whatever you write, do you envision somebody or some people so you're actually telling this to? Or is it to yourself?
No, it isn't. It's not to myself. I don't write to myself. I write to the actual person or persons who have hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Or for anyone else who, if my book is ever published, whoever wants to read what it really is like to be abused in all ways and yet still be able to live the way I am today, still
mm-hmm.
have a good job and
mm-hmm.
Could have chose the other way and became a drunk or
mm-hmm.
a hooker or whatever,
mm-hmm.
lived on the street, but I haven't lived that way, so.
Yeah, so to encourage others and
yeah.
set an example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's good. If people in Germany listen to this, is there something you'd like to say to them?
Well,
that's a question I always ask, as you know.
Okay, for the people in Germany, I would say that it's been really great having you,
oh, well,
Hartmut,
that's okay.
over here.
Yeah, okay.
And I learned a lot from you as well.
What?
I learned a lot on native literature itself, a lot of the stuff I didn't ever know before.
Mm-hmm.
And you have really good books. And other than that, I'd like to tell anyone who does live in fear or live in an abusive relationship. Abuse is anything from being a slap to the face or
mm-hmm.
anything. You don't even have to be physically hit. You
no.
can be verbally abused,
mm-hmm.
and that sometimes hurts more than anything else, because it lowers your self-esteem and your self-confidence. For those that are living that life, my advice is just to hang in there and be real strong, because
mm-hmm.
I think I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah. Is there anything that helps you keep that strength?
Well, anything that helps me to keep my strength is I burn my sweetgrass at home.
Oh yeah.
And my daughter, who is 17 now, is always there. Come and stay with me when
mm-hmm.
things are rough.
Mm-hmm.
She's lived through a lot of abuse herself,
mm-hmm.
so we cope together.
Mm-hmm. The sweetgrass, did you learn that from your grandmother? Or?
I learned that from my grandmother, how to use the sweetgrass and the meaning of it. I also learned a lot about the use of different herbs and roots
mm-hmm.
when I was a child.
Do you still have a chance to practice anything?
I don't practice with the herbs and that anymore. Because I'm never anywhere. I'm just in this concrete
yeah.
world
but
here.
Would you if you went out in a region where those herbs are, could you still collect them? And
oh, yes, naturally I would if I
yeah.
lived out in the country
so
or something.
So you still
have
that knowledge?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Is there a way of...
I know
you're
which
passing
which
that on to, say, Tracy, or have you ever thought about that?
Well, whenever I go out of town, or
mm-hmm.
she's never around to come with me, but when
mm-hmm.
she does come, I will be showing her which roots are for what and what to use them for.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
And that's something that you can only sort of pass on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. It's a gift.
It's better to do it physically, to show another person what, especially your own children.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be more meaning to it when you're teaching your own child on the herbs and roots and stuff.
Yeah.
It builds a real closeness, and you're really in touch with the earth.
Yeah.
So whenever she's able to come with me, we'll do that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So,
that's it.
Okay.
Famous last words?
Well, I don't have any famous last words.
Okay.